welcome back to the Co-opt Cast. My name is Locke Vincent. This is number 107. I'm joined by three other adventurers, my co-op buddies. First off, we have Nicholas coming in as the bosom sorceress. You're playing that role tonight.
The bosom sorceress. Okay.
The bosom sorceress. We have Jason as the leggy Amazon. And rounding, I'm the wizard,
woo!
And then Mike's rounding things off, being the burly dwarf.
Nice.
The top.
It's the wrong letter. It's the surly dwarf.
Surly burly dwarf. Anyways, we're here to talk about some co-op news, some games we've been playing, and finish off with a discussion that we have yet to decide. But we'll get there when we get there. The first things, let's kick things off. I want to hear about Metro Nick. Let's start with you.
Well, I've only played maybe 2 hours of it total. And I never played the first one. But the one thing that annoys me right off the bat is there's this mechanic where you have to constantly find gas masks or pieces for gas masks. Otherwise, you run out of air. So you kind of have like this little watch going the whole time.
Right.
So that kind of was frustrating. But it's a gorgeous looking game. And I don't know, solid shooter so far. There's some weapon customization stuff going on, and you got some crazy post-apocalyptic things happening.
What's the premise of this one? What are you are you just trying to survive?
So I guess it takes place immediately after the end of the last game, in which these Dark Ones, they're called. I guess your hero character basically bombs their nest, but there's one remaining Dark One out there, so you're kind of tasked to go talk to this thing. Apparently your character has a special ability to communicate with them. So you go out to get them, and then things obviously take a turn for the worst, and you end up captured, and I guess there's warring factions underground of different Russians and Germans, and so they've got Nazis and communists and kind of everything else going on.
Nazi zombies?
No zombies.
I've heard of...
There's giant mutated rats, though. So there's that. But yeah, like I said, I'm not very far into it. I haven't had much time to play. I just... maybe 2 hours, checked it out.
Nice.
It's a
shooter. How about the old Leviathan warships?
I've played the first two missions. It seems pretty solid. I haven't got to play any of the customization stuff, but it's an interesting kind of game that it's turn-based, but it kind of feels real-time, almost.
Like, do you set your actions and then they kind of perform them?
Yeah. Like the turns themselves happen over a kind of an extended period. And, you know, you can
they're split basically into like 10-second phases. So like you give some commands and then you execute, and you have 10 seconds in which that happens, and then you get more commands.
Okay.
The interesting thing, I picked it up on both my tablet and the PC, and you can log into their servers and utilize their cloud saves and kind of pick up where you left off, which is kind of nice. The entire game's co-op as well. There's a co-op campaign, or the campaign is considered co-op, and then there's also, I think, 4 challenge missions as well. And basically, as you're playing, you'll earn credits and stuff, and you can build up a fleet, and you can bring that stuff, I guess, into the challenge missions. And
cool.
So, again,
is it as good as the trailer makes it out to be?
I haven't had any smooth talking happen yet, but they're
once that free DLC hits, yep, it will be as good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's about it. I was telling Mike today, I got my little Raptor play summary for last week, and I played an hour and 15 minutes of games last week. So
is it tracking your coding time or what?
No, it should. I should make a Raptor for coding. That's a good idea.
You totally should.
I like that. Except I got to code
dev hours.
Except I have to code that, so it's kind of paradoxical.
Yeah.
It actually already exists.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Jason, how about...
It's called a job with a paycheck.
Jason, how about your experience with Leviathan? How's that going? What are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on the iPad. I waited, like, so excitedly. I just got back, actually, from Mexico. Took a week-long vacation, which felt good. Felt good to kind of get away from everything for a while. And I thought I was going to play some games on the iPad, and I thought I was going to play Leviathan Warships, but, yeah, that didn't come out until after I got back, so I haven't had a chance to dive in too much. What I've played so far has just mostly been a tutorial, the first couple of missions, like Nick. It is nice, though. It feels like it was designed for the iPad.
It's designed for the tablet, because the PC version actually references touch controls at times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, nice. Yeah. You just touch your screen.
Just wipe your fingerprints all over it. Yeah, so, I mean, it's and it kind of, like, I'm used to, like, the tap and click interface, but it's a lot of drag interface, and it works really well for the tablet and going through and moving your ships about and, like, plotting little waypoints for them to go to. I haven't signed in yet or signed up for their service to do the whole cloud thing on their servers just yet, but that'll be the next venture and see how that goes.
We'll have to try some co-op.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious, because it seems, just of the way that it single player plays, I'm curious, like, then if both players have to hit commit at the same time to execute the next phase, or how it sort of syncs all that stuff up. So that'll be fun.
Is it cross play? Like, can someone play on the tablet and someone play on PC?
Yeah.
And then, are we doing a review for that? Does anyone know?
Yeah, we should.
We should. We'll get around to it.
Someone should put some words down.
Right there,
Andrew,
Fox.
Where are you?
Yeah, let's make Andrew do it. Who doesn't own an iPad?
Please compare this game to another embarrassing experience with an ex-girlfriend and let us know.
All right.
So aside from that, I've been playing Star Command on the iPad. And
not as good as I hoped it would be.
Yeah. I got through, like, the first few missions of it or whatever. I was just like, hey, this seems like... No.
Everyone was hoping it would be the next FPL,
seems like,
right?
It should have much better controls than it does.
Yeah,
you're
like
this seems like it should,
you know what it
be
is?
More like FTL, but it's not.
I feel like it's Lego FTL. Like, all of it, I just feel like I'm putting Lego blocks down and, like, building up these little things and shooting off little cannons. I would be in the Lego universe.
And heaven forbid there's two units standing beside each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
How do I get around here? I'm going to stand here. Yeah, it's...
Well, there's stuff like... The only people that can use weapons are
red shirts.
The red shirts, but so, like, you get invaded and then you have to march every one of your units that's not a red shirt over to the station to become a red shirt, and it takes about 8 hours to do.
Yeah.
And then you can't really select more than one unit at once and order them to do anything. That would be, you know, it'd be great if you could just, like, draw a reticle and say everyone go here, but you have, like, really dodgy touch controls to select everybody and send them around. And the weapons, when you're fighting another ship, your rate of fire is approximately once every 5 minutes. And there's an unexplained touch
minigame.
Yeah,
and if you frig up the minigame,
you're
your
scooped. Weapon, and if you screw it up, you're like, oh, what the hell just happened? And then you get to wait 5 minutes before you shoot your gun again.
Basically.
And by that time, you're dead.
Yep. Yeah. So I've actually gotten pretty far in it. I don't know how far in, like, what the ending is to it or whatever. I really hope that based off how far I am right now, there's not a whole lot more left for me to do.
But at the same time, like, I haven't unlocked any additional, like, ships. I haven't, like, there's, like, stuff in there that says coming soon. Like, the game is unfinished. Like,
and the thing I'm afraid of is that I'm going to...
Power of Kickstarter, my friends.
Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to complete the game, and everything is still there, and then eventually it's going to be, oh, you can buy this next ship for 99 cents. And then I'll just be like, done.
Yeah.
Send another email off to the FTL guys. When are you coming to iPad?
Seriously, if FTL came out on the iPad, I would buy at least 3 copies.
That's not a lie.
I looked at Star Command and I kind of got excited because I liked the look of it. The art style was really neat. And I was like, oh, cool.
The music is fantastic.
Yeah, like, the presentation is really, really well done. And you know, if you judge it by its cover, it's like, holy crap, look at this cool, you know, FTL-esque game on my iPad with these cool pixelated isometric views. You know, get to be a spaceship manager. But really, it's pretty shallow because all you're doing is traveling to these rudimentary planets, like, and then just fighting. You just go to a battle after battle. There's no real exploration or talking. Like, it kind of pretends that you can go to different spots, but you're just fighting.
You really can't.
You really can't. You're just going to a different story beat, and they're not even story beats. You're just kind of chasing down these ants that you have to kill. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, I paid $3 for, I think, the iPod version, which might, I don't know if it goes to my iPad as well, but I mean,
it should. Yeah.
Try it on the iPad, but like,
it is next to unplayable on the iPhone. It's still really hard to select things on the iPad.
Yeah, I can imagine, but I mean, it looks cool, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to finish it, but who knows? Like, they got my $3. I've probably played.
Keep going, guys.
Yeah, I was like,
Don't ask me for another $3.
So, because I'd like to see them succeed, right? Like, they had a lot of promises, and if you don't know, they had that Kickstarter where they asked for, like, $30,000, and they're like, shit, this game costs $100,000 to make. So then they kind of, I don't know what the logic is in releasing it in this state. Maybe getting some funds, and then, I don't know, but.
Well, it made it got the top slot on the App Store, which is usually the easiest way to sell a million copies of your cheap game, so.
So, hopefully that drives some of them to be like, oh, we should actually finish this, not fool people. So,
yeah.
Aside from that, not playing too much else other than the game of life. The big news is that while I was in Mexico, I got engaged to my girlfriend, and so I have a co-op.
The
partner.
Unthinkable has happened.
Yeah, I know. I'm joining the rest of this co-op crew here of being wedded.
Yeah.
And you get a co-op partner for life.
And happy marital bliss, right, guys?
Yeah!
Yeah. F yeah!
Very enthusiastic response there. Thanks.
Yes. Well, congratulations to you and your future wife. I cannot wait for you to...
We're going
to
get her on this podcast. We're going to have a wife cast one of these times.
That'll be very interesting.
That's either going to go really bad or even worse. So
it would just be like silence.
Just look, we'll have to give them all like 2 glasses of red wine first and then just turn them loose.
I know exactly how it'll go. It'll be like, so does your husband like stay up until 1 a.m. playing this? Yes, I hate when he does that. And then they rally against us, and then they come up with this like these rule sets.
Is your husband a noob who feeds the center lane?
I wish that was the table conversation. Because I'd be like, come on. I said I wanted to go solo bottom, and then we went with the 2-1-2, and I told you guys to try lane. Like, what the hell? So,
are you sure you just want that to be the table conversation?
Table, bedroom,
that's what
I don't
we
call
care. Pillow talk.
You want to go bottom lane tonight? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm gonna do a 6 pylon.
Yeah, 6 pylon rush.
My part.
All right. Mike, tell me about role playing in video games.
Well, Locke, when a man loves
another man,
a
20-sided dice,
plus one
very
halberd,
much.
Very much. He rolls that dice. I've been playing Neverwinter. Yep.
Which is?
It is the new cryptic MMO in the Dungeons & Dragons universe. It's pretty cool. It's kind of an action RPG rather than a straight MMO. You have cooldowns and stuff, but there's things like active dodging and it's pretty neat. I need to play a lot more, but I've grouped with like 3 people the whole time, and I haven't really dug into any of the dungeons or skirmishes or anything because I chose to play as a DPS character, and well, if you want to join the server queues to get in any of the group co-op stuff, you're like last on the priority list, and I haven't had more than like a half hour at a time to play it, and I got no time to wait in the queue. but I checked out a few of the different characters. I checked out the wizard and the rogue and the tank. it's really interesting that the warrior who's intended to be tank, you have a button dedicated to raising and lowering your shield.
Awesome.
So you can actually like go into and out of defensive stance so enemy starts winding up, you can, you know, whack him a couple times with the sword and then at the last second raise your shield and get a block in. So it's got a pretty cool combat system. It's, if you ever played Champions Online, which I think is the last thing those guys put together, it's very similar. I could easily see this game working with a gamepad.
Nice.
I don't even know. I'm sure it's simple enough that it could support it. So I might check out and see if it does. I don't actually know. But it's pretty fun.
I know
Tally
did she posted a detailed preview of it today in the Neverwinter account actually tweeted it out, so that's pretty
beauty.
Cool.
Yeah, it's free to play, you know, it does the usual stuff, like you only get two character slots and you have to buy more. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole system of there's a place called the Forge, and it allows you to essentially create events on your own and feed them into the game. Huh. So you can, the game basically has an unlimited amount of questing.
So so technically, could a really good DM sort of conjure up, I guess an event for his group, and then you could run that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, you can. You don't play as the DM. Like, you put it together, you write all the dialogue. And I didn't dig into this too much. But there are NPCs that actually list all of the content, and everything gets user rated. So the best stuff floats up to the top. And the real helpful thing is they all actually list how much play time they include. So they'll say, you could say this might take 2 hours to beat, or this is just 15 minutes or whatever.
Okay.
You can't exploit the system and make a 5-minute encounter that gives you the best loot or anything.
A lot. Planet.
It's cool if you want to, you know, do stuff outside the dungeons with your friends.
Nice.
On top of that, I popped in my Super Nintendo copy of Soul Blazer. Been playing that again. It's one of my favorites from back in the day. It's the first quintet game for the Super Nintendo. So is Soul Blazer, then Illusion of Gaia and Terra Enigma, the, you know, top-down action RPGs, kind of Zelda-like. Twist in this one is that rather than you go to a town and they give you a quest to go do whatever, there's an empty town, and as you progress through the dungeons, it unlocks the town's people. Like, you release them from being captured.
Cool.
So the towns actually assemble themselves as you go.
Oh, that's really cool.
And there's some rudimentary puzzle solving. It's really a fantastic game. You should check it out.
Pre Dark Souls.
Kinda.
Yeah, I remember that, Soul Blazer.
A little bit of that stuff.
I never.
It's not a very difficult game though. So you can play it however you want, Nick.
No rules. That's how
nice.
I go. No rules.
It's just real fun. Like, you do crazy shit, like you use an item called the Dream Rod to enter the dream of a tulip, and then you meet a fairy who gives you a quest.
That definitely sounds like a game for Nick.
I call that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm using my Dream Rod on the tulip. That's right.
Woo! Yeah, that's really it. I played a bit of Soul Sacrifice last time, but Locke's going to talk about it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll
talk about
it. Pitch
it
over
talk
to
about
you.
It. I'll catch that, and I'll throw that into the net. Get rejected by a big giant cycloptic monster who has stopped
okay.
my progress in Soul Sacrifice.
No, no, no! Not in my house.
I mean, I played quite a bit of Soul Sacrifice. Nowhere near as much as our friends and counterparts, but it's interesting. It's definitely, it's got its hooks in me in the sense that I want to upgrade my guy, but I don't really like playing alone. I find that the AI is kind of useless, so there's no trouble finding random partners. There's always quick matches and stuff. we haven't talked about the story too much on this. It's weird because you can go off different branches. Like, there's the main story where you're like following this wizard and you're reliving these events in this journal of this wizard sort of apprentice. But then you'll get this offshoot of this other wizard that's in the book, and then you'll do like a set of quests for this wizard who is really obsessed with gold. But then there's these other quests where you can like, they're just all the side quests for multiplayer, and it's weird because
the Avalon
packs. The Avalon packs, and I find myself getting distracted because I'm going to do all these other things, and I won't really focus on. I think you need to focus on sort of gathering similar spells to kind of beef up your spells, because you need, what happens in the game is, you'll get two spells, two things, and you can put them together, and that'll boost the attack power and the number of times you can cast it. And the thing I'm finding in Soul Sacrifice is that I don't die, I just run out of spells that I can cast. And it's really just this war of attrition where I kind of run around the arena, and they're pretty, like, fairly small arenas, especially when the boss takes up, like, a quarter of them.
Three quarters of it.
So I'm sitting there, I'll use all my spells, and then if you use a spell too many times, it'll break, and it's done for that fight, and then you have to use these Lacrian tears to reassemble it. But, I mean, that's beside the point. It's a fun game, it's a lot of fun co-op, getting, you know, two to four, any number of people, it's really fun to play, and really glad to be playing that on the Vita. It's pretty cool game.
It's pretty unique. The other thing is, you have found the stuff that replenishes your spell charges.
Have those little white trees where you can use vision there.
If you sacrifice rather than save, it replenishes.
See,
some
that's
of
the
your
thing.
Casting
I
too.
Don't sacrifice. I always save because I'm building. I'm building a divine arm. So, because I want to be the tank, I want to be able to like. The more people you save, the more life you have. So I have a lot of life, but I don't have a lot of hitting power. So that's why solo for me is really difficult, because I have to rely on like Andrew's guy is like totally evil arm. Like, he just ruins people.
Yeah, that's.
But he's a glass.
I rolled. So far, I've rolled into mostly evil arm. I try and keep it. I basically try and put two thirds to one third. So I'm always advancing both.
I think that's what I should do. Like, kind of, like, I've been doing only divine, only life. So I think I should start getting some attack power, because, you know, sometimes when you're on the toilet, you just got to play by yourself and take out a Cyclops. You know, polish off that Cyclops. But
I think almost every word you used in that last sentence was inappropriate. No,
these are all appropriate.
I know I polish the Cyclops when I'm alone in the bathroom.
That is not a co-op mission for two to four players.
dude, I'm telling you, I've done that co-op mission many times. It's a lot of fun. He drops some awesome loot. He's got this one spell called the Giant's Arm that drops, and you gotta get that one every time. So, the other game I've been playing,
right,
is, yeah, Soul Sacrifice, totally cool. the other game that I dipped into over the weekend, and I just fell hard into this, was Fallen Enchantress Legendary Heroes, which is in... It's a Stardock joint.
Is that an expansion?
That's an expansion. It's an expansion.
Before you go on, how much can you talk about it?
Not too much.
Okay.
I got an email.
In fact, this conversation is now done. Thanks.
No. No, I have it here. I could talk about a little bit of stuff, but I just wanted to say that if you bought Elemental back in the day, or even got Fallen Enchantress on Steam, it's worth taking a look. Like, it's tough for me to say keep supporting this game, because it's gone off the rails so many times, but they are really honing it. Like, they are onto something now, and it's only taken three major iterations, like three friggin' actual expansions, or like the first one. Like, history of this game. Elemental was released, it was busted, wasn't playable. Fallen Enchantress, they did a rebrand, and it was pretty good. Not entirely finished. I think they got it with this one, with Legendary Heroes. Like, everything seems balanced. Like, the flow of the game seems really smart. And things that were, like, if you don't know, it's half Civilization, half RPG. And they used to sort of interact separately. They are now so intertwined that it actually feels like its own game instead of just, like, I play a little bit of Civilization and manage my kingdom, and then I go on this quest to save, you know, a princess and fight a dragon, and then I do this Heroes of Might and Magic tactical battle. You go in and out, and both parts of the game are a lot of fun now. Like, some people will gravitate towards, you know, perfecting their kingdom, min-maxing towns and population and that sort of thing, and some people will just, like, make this all-powerful sorcerer, and now you kind of have to do both, which I think is smart, because that sets this game apart, gives it its own thing, because, I mean, Civilization 5 or whatever your favorite Civ is, those are great. This is very different from those, which I like. I just have to compare it to that, because it's the closest thing. There are a couple other games that are out on Steam. I know Warlock, Masters of the Arcane, I believe is one. Yeah. Or no, There's one that...
There's one that was just released. It's
just released.
E.
I think it's called Eridor?
Yeah.
Is it Eridor?
Like,
anyways, there's several games kind of like this that use the hex grid sort of kingdom building game, but the special thing about Fallen Enchantress, Legendary Heroes, is that they have the RPG elements really honed in, and it makes you care about your units a lot more than, say, in Civ or these other sort of... sort of kingdom management games, 4X games. So it's only going to be $20, which is nice. If you bought the game before, I think it's like November 2010 or something. If you're one of the original purchases of Elemental, you'll get it for free, which is awesome. So I think I'll have an extra code. We might be able to give it away or something. I don't know. But
cool.
Yeah. I played a bit of Fallen Enchantress, and I liked it. My problem is like you said, you could spend time doing nothing but fucking with your town.
Totally.
Or you could just roll with your hero unit and do nothing but conquest. And
you kind of get lost.
On easier difficulty levels, that was an entirely valid tactic.
Yeah, like just, your hero can roll faces if he gets high enough level. Like, he can take on an old army, which isn't really that realistic. I don't know. Depends how you like to play, but... I mean, it's got...
Did they tutorialize it a little better? Because that was actually... My biggest problem was that there are, like, three different ways of advancing your town, and they actually never explain the difference between any of it.
They don't really tell you... They have a tutorial now, like a dedicated tutorial, which is really good. They tell you how to basically do the first sort of 20 turns, and then, you know, once you kind of get it down, you can deviate from there. But, I mean, it's interesting because... You can spend a lot of time, like you said, like messing around with your kingdom, and it still has those Stardock tropes of, like, you can as you advance down the tech trees, you'll get different units automatically generated that you can build, but you can go in and design your own unit. If you want to make, like, a horseman with a war club instead of a lance, you can do that, and I mean, that's a lot of fun. I really like that, and you don't... It's not that difficult to do. Like, I remember back in like Galactic Civilization days, like, I spent more time designing ships than I did playing the actual game. Whereas in this, it's very streamlined, and you're just like sort of, it's a paper doll method where you're just kind of throwing different equipment and attributes on your guys. So don't overlook that one. And I'm sort of I want to be the champion for it, because I mean, a lot of people got burned on that original release. So,
well, and then, you know, there was the whole sexual harassment thing with Brad Wardell, and a lot of people were kind of like dodgy on supporting Stardock,
totally.
and they sold Impulse to GameStop, and people don't like that. And it's just like all of the bad stuff, all the bad PR
just happened.
You know, and this is a company that they were like the first company that said, you know what, fuck DRM.
Yeah, totally.
You know, remember they had the Gamers Bill of Rights back in like 2008 or so. That was them. And everyone's like, yeah, rah, rah, Stardock. And then they botched the Elemental release. And then it's just been like,
it actually started with, what was the one before Elemental? They had all the server issues.
Demigod?
Yeah, Demigod.
Yeah.
No, it was Gauss.
It was all those
or sins. They made sins.
No, they published
it. No, sins was Ironclad. Oh,
okay, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was Demigod.
Anyways.
Yeah, Demigod was weird. I liked that game. It was like a solo MOBA.
Yeah, Demigod. I love Demigod, man. It's a fun game. Anything else before we move on, gentlemen? I think that does it for what we've been playing. Let's hit some news. The first being the assault on Dragon Keep. We got new Borderlands 2 DLC, fourth DLC. This one, if I believe, it is not included in the season's pass. Is that right?
This one is? The character class is not.
The DLC is, character class is not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, does anyone want to speak to the new character class? Because I don't actually know what he does.
Quotes musical theater.
Andrew would be the one. He's going to have a preview/review tomorrow of it.
Oh, so that, okay, that's cool. So
they basically, from what I know, is he's called Krieg. He looks basically like the psychos from the game, and he's more of a melee character, kind of like Brick. In the first Borderlands.
Nice. That's cool.
And his abilities, like, all feed into his... I guess he can throw his axe or something, so, like, he charges up with his other stuff and can, you know, unleash some good attacks. I haven't looked too far into
nice.
It.
Nice.
But,
it's...
This is going to be the most divisive DLC ever.
It's also the... No, it's not the character one that adds the level cap increase, is it?
No, that was the separate $5 Vault
that
Hunter
already
pack
came out
from earlier this year.
Jason, I think you've played the most out of all of us. How does this affect you? Do you go back in? What are you doing here?
I'm really debating all this because I enjoy melee character class, you know, kind of characters. I played Zero throughout most of the game. I haven't picked it up since the big game hunt DLC, even with the new 61 character cap that they've got in place, just because I'm kind of like, I don't necessarily see the point anymore of playing. I will play Tiny Tina stuff. Anything with Tiny Tina that has her for like hours upon hours, I will gladly go play.
You know, I kind of feel like we're the only site on the internet that isn't completely down on Tiny Tina.
Does everyone hate Tiny Tina?
Like, everybody else hates Tiny Tina. I thought she was funny. I didn't. Yeah. She's not my favorite character, but I was amused. Yeah. And, like, it's just nothing. Yeah. Like, they announced that this was a Tiny Tina DLC, and the internet's like,
the problem is, there was the whole freaking, once again,
is she
racist? Controversy thing. Everyone making a big deal out of it.
Because she's a white girl that says, badonkadonk.
Oh,
we are obviously racist.
Oh. Now, suddenly, we can't like it because, you know...
Well, it's the new games journalism crusade of the week.
The White
right?
Knights.
It's so freaking out of hand. I'm so tired of it.
Well, it's silly. I understand the argument, but I don't buy it. I think there are much worse things. You know, like them remaking Shadow Warrior. You want racism?
Yeah.
There you go. That's
some
racist shit.
You want to wash Wang? Oh, wash Wang, wash Wang. Actual line from the game.
You know, it's just, that's like the most horribly stereotypical racist game ever. It was funny as hell, but it was...
Because we were 14. We were 14 years old when we played it.
Yes.
Of course it was funny.
Yeah.
Farts we're just like, ooh, boobs and games.
Farts and boobs are funny.
Pretty much.
So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I bought the season pass, so it will get downloaded to my PC next time I... Fire Borderlands 2, it'll be right there.
I'm ready. So, I am at the point where I'm ready for the Borderlands 2 gold pack where I just get it all, because I haven't played any of the DLC, and I'll just start from it fresh and play it all the way through. I'm ready for that. Bring it on. Let's do this.
That'll be a slog.
I know.
in other words, excited about the DLC character class. I mean, again, you're putting a melee character class in a game about guns. I'm trying to still scratch my head about that.
Nice. Next up, we got another Dragon's Crown video. That, speaking of White Knight Crusades, Dragon's Crown has another character gameplay trailer. And this time, they have strategically released the other, or the second female character, the Amazon, who doesn't need armor, of course. You don't need armor when you're from the jungle. And you know what else? Armor also reduces mobility, and Amazons needed much mobility. So that's the logical reason behind her outfit. I'm going to skip all the obvious, you know.
Deep hole here.
I'm going to skip all that crap, and I'm just saying, like, every gameplay trailer of this looks sick. Like, this Vanillaware, the animation is so good. And, I mean, four-player co-op for a brawler game in this world just is going to be great. Like, I'm getting a Guardian Heroes vibe off this. You know, I'm getting an Odin Sphere vibe off this. Plus on
Golden Axe
vibe. Like, they're doing it really well. And, you know, I don't have a problem with their character design because I'm a grown-ass adult.
I think the character design is, you know, that's up to everyone's personal taste. But, like, the people that are denying that it's a good, like, the game has an amazing art style. Whether you think it's to your taste or not, that's fine. But the amount of artistry that goes into that is unreal. Like, Vanillaware, nobody does better looking 2D games than they do.
You get to play a painting.
Whether you like the aesthetic or not.
Yeah, you get to play a painting, which is so beautiful. And, I mean, yeah, they had the Sorceress gameplay, and then they had the Amazon, and they both look like two very different characters. I'm curious to see sort of how the wizard magician matches up with the sorcerer, and then I guess the other melee characters sort of matches up with the Amazon, because you have the knight, you have the dwarf, and you also have the archer. And the magician, yeah. Obviously.
All I know is I'm going to be playing as that burly-ass
dude.
Dwarf.
He has the biggest shoulders I have ever seen in my life. So.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, thoughts on Dreg?
That game's... I'm hoping that it's cross-buy.
It'd be nice.
But
it would be nice.
It would be nice.
I don't think it's going to be, though.
I ordered it on... I pre-ordered the PS3 version. Okay. Because I want to see that beautiful art on my big-ass TV.
Yep. How much was that?
It's 50, so it's already a little cheaper.
Okay.
So hopefully it comes cross-buy. Maybe cross-buy will be a pre-order bonus or something, but I'm not holding my breath.
That would be really cool if it was cross-buy. I'm torn. I'd be torn. I would actually get it on my... I don't know, man. That's tough. Tough call.
It's like, it's going to look good either way, but I want to see that on my TV, mm-hmm. And that trumps my ability, that trumps my desire to play portable, because, let's be real, I'm a grown-ass adult, I play portable games in the comfort of my own home, I'm not playing it anywhere else, I might as well have it on the TV.
Or the comfort of your own bathroom, I mean, whichever the case may be.
Yeah, well, you know.
I wonder if there's any Cyclopses.
That's probably
in
my
that.
Number. I think Dragon's Crown's probably my number one thing I'm looking forward
that's
to
what,
this year.
August it's out.
August 6th. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's really good, strong mobile stuff this year. I found, like, with Fire Emblem and with Soul Sacrifice and a ton of little indie games too.
The 3DS dominated my first part of the year, like, completely. The Vita, you know, Soul Sacrifice is a strong release, but, you know, now you have all the traction from the indies.
Totally, yeah.
That are starting to buy into Sony leading up, like, with the Vita and leading up to the PS4.
Yeah,
So I think that system might... I think the Vita is probably going to find its niche later this year. I think people are really going to start having very valid reasons for owning
Sony
one.
Just opened up the licensing fee for the Vita. Well, PlayStation Mobile, it was $99, and now it's free. So you can get access to their API stuff and kind of play around even. You don't even have to, you know, barrier of entry is now nothing. So it's all... As far as I know, it's a C# based stuff, so that's why I think a lot of indies are finding ease with it.
It's time for that BSA port, baby.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We're going to talk about, Mike's going to tell me about Diablo 3, and first, let's talk about the exploit. What happened with that, Mike?
Auction house shenanigans.
So, somebody figured out how to dupe gold to the point where they duped so much gold and bought out a significant amount of the items on the auction house.
Wasn't it like trillions, they said?
Trillion, it was something, it was like trillions of gold.
Awesome.
And they basically bought out the auction house, and as a result, Blizzard has shut down the auction houses and is permabanning people who use the exploit, and...
It's a mess.
Diablo 3 is not a game that could use more negative publicity, but here you go. This is the I told you so moment for everybody that said the auction house is ruining the game. On the plus side, Blizzard has said any of the profits made, any of the money made while the exploit was live is going to be donated to charity rather than going in their pockets, which is a pretty cool move, but yeah, people not
so
happy.
So you think we're going to see an expansion pack announced here in the next couple weeks? Because it's...
I don't doubt that. I think that BlizzCon, they'll announce the expansion pack
for
it. We're
coming up on a year here since release.
From Diablo? Okay.
Yeah, last May.
Yep.
I still drop in and play Diablo 3 quite a bit. It's still really fun. The new patch is going to have the co-op incentives, so, you know, you get better item find and whatnot when you...
I still need to finish the game.
You really do.
I still like Diablo 3. I've been testing out that Steam Workshop Torchlight mod because it is hot. You get friggin' any different classes all abound and just complete overhauls. But we'll see.
Slightly off topic. You know what got released today that looks really slick in terms of modding tools is The Witcher 2.
They released all the tools for that, and
it looks really, really slick and full featured. And for people that want to make their own quests and missions and areas, and very, 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 very nice looking. I haven't gotten a chance to play with it or anything, but we lost Jason.
Man down. Well, we'll go through the.
There he is.
Specifically, you get a 10% to your magic find for each additional person you're co-oping with, up to a maximum of 30%, which does stack on top of the 300% cap. So, of course, when you're at that level, you're rolling with people anyways, I believe. Is that true?
Not necessarily. So the way it used to work is magic find is your most important stat once you've built your character. You want to get hot loots. Up until the last patch, or maybe the patch before that, the magic find rating was averaged across the party. So if you had really high magic find and your buddy had no magic find, it would drag
yours down,
both of your magic finds down. So a lot of people refused to play co-op at all. And then they patched that out so that your magic find, since your items are, you know, they drop on your end and not everybody's, they patched it so that your magic find is your magic find. And now they're patching it so that everyone gets bonuses to magic find for co-oping. So they had the hard swing one direction. Now they're trying to get it back to where more people are willing to play co-op. But, you know, it's... You know, every time I play it now, my buddies and I we go to Act 2, we go to the Vault of the Assassin, and we hit all of the places where the elites spawn. We kill all the elites, then we reset the game. Yeah. So we do farming runs at this point.
It's true Diablo, going on those Mephisto and Baal runs.
Yeah, you know, they made it so that if you have, you know, 5 stacks of Nephilim Valor, you can actually boss farm again, so the bosses will they're guaranteed to drop good stuff again. Unlike the bizarre decision when the game came out where if you killed Diablo, then killed Diablo again, he would drop nothing but, like, blue items 10 levels below you.
That's kind of mean.
It's Diablo's revenge.
I feel they've been steadily improving that game. It's... You know, you play Diablo 3 now versus the game I reviewed. It's almost...
Yeah.
Like, the systems are almost completely different. They're, like, weird endgame stuff. There's, like, they really beefed up the crafting system. They boosted class synergies quite a bit. They added... You know, they haven't added the full PvP, but you can duel other players again. It gets slow. It's getting there.
I dropped back into it back in, like, January, I think, or something like that, and I hadn't played in months, and so it was like experiencing all the patches and everything up until that point. And yeah, I mean, based off the time when I left it in like August or so of last year to then, like just the changes in playing the Witch Doctor class and like what I could do, I actually stepped into it feeling like, you know what, I actually can do stuff on my own, like in the Inferno mode or whatever.
It cool.
It was actually like, yeah, I was having fun again.
They made Inferno, like, they, rather than the nuts and a vice difficulty Inferno was before, they made it so that Inferno now legitimately feels like just a step up from Hell mode. And they added a system called Monster Power, where you can boost the damage output and life of all of the enemies in the game at 10 different levels. So, you know, going from Inferno to Monster Power 1 is like going from Hell to Inferno, and then each step up is... So, like, my character is really well kitted out. I have, you know, I don't have best-in-slot gear, but I'm close for a lot of stuff. And if I put it on Monster Power 10, I just get liquefied the second I walk in.
Gross.
So it's real tough.
Nice.
But it's more customizable. It's real fun. I think an expansion will do wonders for that.
I will buy that expansion and play it. Next, getting bored, let's get him to talk about Hell Raid.
It's called Hexen. Or it looks like Hexen. Yeah, seriously? No,
Hexen.
It's true, but still, that's a beautiful summation. Nick's so tired. Just, it's Hexen.
Dude,
next topic.
I'm running on like 5 hours of sleep from last night.
Dude. Dude.
Playoff hockey, yeah. Man. Playoff hockey.
No, but so it's a new game from the Dead Island developers, Techland. And yeah, it's called Hellraid, and it looks exactly like a modern-day Hexen / Heretic kind of game. You got swords and skeletons and spells and all that good stuff.
I wonder if you can mod your sword.
I don't know.
That would be sweet.
But yeah, so it's co-op, though, obviously. 4-player co-op.
Yep.
The video, it sold me. Like, it's like a 30-second gameplay trailer. Like, yeah, I want that.
Is there... Oh, there's no release date yet. Oh,
no.
End of the year?
And I think it's not a retail release. I think it's a digital kind of downloadable thing. So...
Interesting.
That could be cool. Yeah, no, it looks pretty slick. I like these screenshots and the video. Yeah, the video sells it, definitely. Like,
yeah.
If you played those back in the day, you will definitely be purchasing this. So, all right, that's it for news. And now it's friggin' roulette wheel time. What do you guys want to talk about? Do you want to do some E3 predictions? You want to do some Xbox speculation? You want to talk about Cyclops some more? What do you got?
Well, I would say E3 for next time, since we'll be
so it'll be closer.
Before. Yeah, might as well
Xbox.
Might as well talk. That's Xbox is next.
That's
week.
Next
it's
week.
A week from today.
Next week.
So.
Okay, let's do that. That is that wins the prize. So,
so name. Is the name Infinity? I
yes,
guess it's the first.
I think they will reboot it and call it the Xbox.
Okay, going with the Xbox.
Like not Xbox as a single word. They will call it
Xbox.
The Xbox.
The
like the Batman or the Wolverine.
The White Stripes. The Led Zeppelins.
Yes.
I
think Xbox Infinity
the Cyclops.
Xbox Infinity is a good guess at the next step from 360, but you kind of leave yourself nowhere to go.
That's true. Yeah. I was
You name your system Infinity, and then
Infinity plus one.
No. You go beyond. You go beyond.
That's great. Your Xbox Infinity and beyond, and so now you got Buzz Lightyear as your spokes model.
Dude, they could do
Tim
a lot
Allen
worse.
Needs work, man.
They could do a lot worse. I was just thinking, in terms of a design standpoint, the Infinity works wonders for iconography and stuff. So
well, that's kind of like why. No one's actually seen it called Infinity, but they've seen the symbol with the logo, and it's if you go with like Microsoft's branding with like Windows 8 and stuff, right? Infinity is an 8 turned on its side.
It's an 8 turned on
right?
its side.
So that's kind of like why those rumors have had a lot of legs and stuff to it. Maybe they don't even actually refer to it as. It might be kind of like a hybrid of like what Mike says. It's like they just call it the Xbox, but it also kind of has that little notation with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just I can't wait until people stop calling it the freaking 720. Like, it just annoys me.
Or the Durango.
It annoys me to no end. Like, let's just double the number. Like, okay, when, the PlayStation 3 for the new one.
PlayStation
6. You called the
PlayStation
6? No, you didn't double the freaking number, so stop doing that.
If Kaz had his way, he probably would have.
I thought it would have been Xbox 365. It would have been clever, but...
There you go.
Using it...
So I
Media
think
Center.
A good reason to call it Infinity would be, you know, if they keep up with the Kinect and the smart glass stuff like this, the Xbox penetrates, you know, your mobile devices, you know, the whole issue, the thing where the room projector stuff that they showed, like, the Xbox can, like, basically come out of the screen and into your everyday life, and Infinity makes sense if you look at it from... all of that stuff. It's not going to be a holodeck, Jason. It does not paint a yellow grid on your room before turning
on. I'm going to put the yellow grid on myself.
Yeah. Use some tape and some black paint.
Exactly.
The one interesting rumor that's been going around is the Xbox is going to have like a breakout box, apparently, right? And that this can go in another room, and it's basically like a Roku device, but it could,
so it'll stream like but, the Steam like the Steam.
Yeah.
Rumors.
So essentially, this is what they're saying is going to have like the backwards compatibility in it. It's essentially going to be a mini Xbox 360, but there's no drive in it. It'll let you do like Netflix. It'll let you do like run a lot of the apps and stuff. But it has to. It kind of talks to the home Xbox.
I like that.
And so that all is actually based on, I guess, there's documentation out there for it, copyright kind of stuff that people have dug up, like tech documents and stuff.
That's not that awesome. Always on sort of thing that they've been banding about.
Well, so that was the other thing that finally at least was commented on. Unofficially,
Microsoft actually said that the system will work if you don't have an internet
connection. Yeah, they did. Well, it came out in a leaked email. I forget which. I think it was Ars posted it. Because that was the strong rumors, right, for going on for months that, like, oh my god, you're going to have to be connected to the internet all the time to play a game. And, So that was shot down, allegedly. Again, and it's still, nothing's concrete. We don't know any of the systems what the actual requirements are going to be. Because that was even the rumor with the PlayStation 4 that at the event, some journalists had asked flat out, you know, do we have to be connected to the internet to play these games? Are you blocking used games? And they kind of got the runaround and stuff, and they didn't know if it was translation issues or whatever else. So who knows?
Any major changes to the hardware? Do you guys, is it Blu-ray? What do you think?
I think it's not. It's probably. I think they'll probably push the streaming angle from it. I doubt that they would go Blu-ray on its own. I think they'd probably do what Nintendo did, make their own high-capacity disc, automatically cut down slightly on piracy, or make it more difficult to pirate.
Return of the HD format.
Now, see, what I think is they would, with all the smart glass and everything, is they're going to probably introduce, they're going to push Xbox as, like, a series of devices or a platform that's decentralized a little bit. I think you'll have, so, like, the Xbox 360 might be rebranded as, you know, like, Xbox Junior, I don't know.
Xbox Mini.
Yeah, but like Nick was saying with the backwards compatibility and everything, is like that would be like your first step into like the greater Xbox ecosystem, or you can get the Infinity or whatever it's called, have it be like the home base and push out to all these other devices, and as Microsoft tries to push Metro UI and Live Tiles into every aspect of your life. I wouldn't be surprised if it has tighter integration with just a Windows 8 PC. Mm-hmm.
Just talking back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, there's already some pretty cool stuff that they've done with Windows 8 and the 360 interface, the ability to like play videos and music and stuff right from the PC onto the 360, and and things like that, where you don't have to actually interact from the, you know, usually before it was driven from the 360 to the PC, where this way you can kind of push stuff to it. So yeah, I definitely could see expansion of that.
Or they could just, you know, announce that they dropped another money hat on Activision, and you have
Call of Duty exclusive DLC.
So that's the
that was something that I wanted to talk about. Like, people always, you know, they're like, oh, always online. Like, how many people buy their Xbox to play Madden or Call of Duty?
A lot.
See, it doesn't matter though. It's a totally invalid argument, because it's those moments when they want to play the game and then they can't because some stupid internet thing is down or something else.
Internet
I still
is
play my
hard.
Games. Exactly. Just ask Andrew.
Right now, yeah. He's having internet issues. Something fierce.
Good.
Oh, he lives out in the sticks, yeah. Right? He's got ghetto
middle
internet.
In the desert. Any crazy...
Hamster fell off the wheel.
Do you think that... I think definitely this is going to be hardware-focused, much like the PS4 sort of media briefing went, but what are we going to see? Any sort of first party titles, any software? What do you guys think?
I think they're going to hold all the software for E3. Okay. I think they like, you might get a token game announcement, like maybe they'll be like, oh, by the way, Halo 5 this fall for Xbox Infinity and 360.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the weird thing, like those transition titles. The last generation, it actually worked out pretty well with, like, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. It also didn't go so well with, like, Gun. But I'm very curious about this sort of transition where you have, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox, which have so many units out there that you can't afford not to develop for them still. And then then you have... Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, the really interesting thing is... The way the ecosystem is now is completely different, right? So you have to sell to the core, because they're the only people that are going to care about spending that kind of money on a new system, right? And if you don't focus on the games and stuff, kind of like what Sony did, Sony didn't really talk all that much about the media aspect of it. Like, if Microsoft focuses, I think, too much on Netflix and all this other kind of stuff, and doesn't focus enough on the games, I think they're gonna have a really difficult launch, because Sony, especially with like the indie stuff they've been doing and all that stuff, they've kind of got a good leg up. So I think it's gonna be interesting.
It seems like a more sort of friendly ecosystem to develop in, instead of the walled garden approach.
It's a complete flip-flop of where it was 5 years ago. I don't know what happened, but it's a complete flip-flop.
How many studios got closed in the past 5 years?
A ton.
I mean that's a large part of it, is that the cost for production, I mean, you know, not that it hasn't necessarily changed, but it's people are seeing that they can't sit there with huge development studios.
No, not that. No, the flip-flop is 5 years ago, Microsoft was considered the open platform, and anybody could get on Xbox Live Arcade and indie games and stuff like that. And Sony, it was impossible, and now it's completely the opposite. Microsoft, it's like, no one wants to be on Live Arcade. It's impossible to get a publishing contract and all that stuff. The indie game channel is all but dead. They dropped the support for that. And Sony's the one that's giving out free passes to develop for the PlayStation Vita and everything else. So it's just a complete...
So Microsoft needs to remember that part of the reason that the first Xbox and the 360 got really popular in the West from Western developers is that it's based on Windows PC architecture at some level, which meant that anybody that had already been making PC games could just drop it straight onto the Xbox and just, you know, tweak it for the hardware. Yeah. And Sony had been notorious for having horrific dev kits and architecture. Yeah. The PS3 had so many problems with, you know, multi-platform games for the first half of its lifespan, because they decided to go with, you know, they went forward with the cell architecture, and people still don't know how that stuff works.
Not even people at Sony.
And now the PS4, they said, you know what? We're going to make it out of off-the-shelf PC parts, and bam, they have an instant ease of access.
Well, that was something that confused people, though, too. I mean, PlayStation 2 was such an easy platform, you know, from all these developers, they said, to work with, and Sony itself was so easy to work with when it came to PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 3 was almost a slap in the face of them because they were trying to push so hard for this. And so now it's like they finally was like, oops, that was our bad. Go back to how we used to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We don't have anyone going to that, but I am. They're going to stream all that crap, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
they're going to stream it on the
Xbox. It's
going to
be pretty small. Uh-huh. They're actually building like a little hut in the Xbox courtyard in the Microsoft campus. I saw Major Nelson kind of tweeted out some pictures. They're building it right now, and it looks pretty tiny where this thing's going to be. So
cool.
Yeah, they really only invited like the huge sites and some of the tech.
Yeah, it's like newspapers and
I could drive up there and see if I could gate crash it if you guys do want, but I think it'd be easier.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that.
There seems to be a surly dwarf invading the Microsoft campus.
Just the spotlight comes zooming around on him.
I could grow my beard back by now.
I'll send you my battle axe. All right. Yeah. All right, so that does it. That's our Xbox Infinity speculation. That does it for the podcast, episode 107, in the can, putting things to bed. Remember, you can rate us on iTunes. You can grab the beautiful app that these gentlemen have designed on iOS, Windows Phone 7, maybe 8, and Android. I'm not even going to tell you about shirts anymore until we get new ones. So yeah, leave us some feedback on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, at Cooptimus, without the dash. You can give me a shout for my cheat code hotline, 646-926-6748. I've got you a code right here. In Sector X, to get infinite continues, wait for continue to appear after game over. Hold down, up, left, and press button C. Each push of the C gets you a continue up to 8 at a time. Repeat as necessary.
How can you hold down, down, up, and left at the
same
time?
Don't question it! You have to call me. So,
lock. ABACABB.
I miss cheat codes. Like, legit.
That's where you get them.
Yeah.
That is an art form that has died.
Yeah. Anyways, that does it on behalf of myself and my lovely co-hosts. We're going to wrap this up. That's been Co-Opticast episode 107. Go check out the site for more of our daily musings and ramblings. Good night, everybody.
Peace.